Welcome to CS Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 142 of CS Radio. I'm J. Michael DeAngelis.
And I'm Natty Leach.
And Natty, we're recording this on a very special day.
What day is it?
It's your birthday.
Oh, you're right. Thank you.
Congratulations on making it 32 years.
Whew. It's always seems a little bit longer than it should be every year.
Well, talk to me in a decade. So I'm very excited to be with you on this day and to do one of my favorite kinds of episodes, which is to do, we're going to do a little bit of a discussion on an article from our friends at The Muse, always a great source of content. And I actually would like to take this opportunity to thank The Muse again. You may remember at the conclusion of last season, we talked about that Career Services was planning a conference, a virtual conference over the summer, and The Muse participated in that along with our friends from Campus Philly about how to run career-centric social media and websites. And man, it was so great. It was so wonderful to meet them, and we continue to love using them as a source for podcast episodes. So
I was the moderator for that, and they did an awesome job. It made my job so easy.
That was a great event, and I tell you what we can do. We can link to a recording of that panel in the show notes. It was so good. And Natty did a great job moderating it. And I think you can take some really valuable takeaways from that, particularly if you're interested in a career in social media or journalism. So check that out in the show notes. So today we're going to take a look at an article that The Muse ran just this week. And the title is How to Answer Why Are You a Great Match for This Role? Without feeling like you're bragging. So, Natty, you were attracted to this article from a list of a couple options I gave you. So what about it jumped out at you?
Well, it's just such a key interview question. Not even the fact that it might not be asked exactly that way, right? You might hear this in a number of different ways, or not at all, but they want to hear the answer to this question, whether they ask it explicitly or not. So I think it's just a great topic to go over, especially the side I hear from students all the time. It's hard to talk about yourself sometimes, right? You feel like you're bragging. You feel like you're going on too much. A lot of people are used to just saying the basics and letting their actions speak for them. But obviously in an interview, they haven't seen your actions yet.
Right. That's right. It's not a reality competition where everyone's going to build the same thing out of whatever's in the basket, but you have to talk. And this is something I would actually like to spend a little bit of time on in a future episode. But another thing I got involved with this summer was prepping students to interview for fellowship interviews. We partnered with our good friends at CURF on prepping workshops. And what we found the number one thing they needed to work on was talking about themselves. They could talk about their research, they could talk about their academic transcript, but talking about themselves is really difficult. And I like completely understand that. So what, you know, the article offers some suggestions. So Natty, you mentioned it being at the heart of the interview, but why do employers ask this specific question?
Well, really they want to get a sense of a few things, right? They want to know that you understand the role. They want to know that you've done some research and know what you're getting yourself into. They want to know what sets you apart from other candidates as well. Like what makes you uniquely qualified or uniquely a good fit for this role. There's so much they want to see. They want to see examples of things that you've done in the past. This could be a great place to bring in transferable skills that might not be obvious to them up front. You could bring up examples of times that you've worked in similar situations or doing tasks that would be valuable to them, even if it was in a different setting.
So one of the things that I always tell students when I'm doing my interview workshop is that if you got to that point where you're in the room or you're on the Zoom, they already think you're qualified for the job, right? You've made it that far. So regurgitating your resume isn't going to do you any good. At this point, they're looking to see what kind of fit you would be in the organization. So some of it is personality. Do I like this person? Would I want to see this person every day? Would I want to work closely with this person? And then the other thing that I think is in many ways more important is do they understand the role and what would they bring to the role, right? So why are you a good fit for this job? Another way of asking that is, do you understand what we need and what are you bringing to the table to address those
needs? Yes. And how will you solve those needs? Or yeah, exactly.
So one approach to answering that question, I can think back, you know, if I were interviewing for my current job and they said, why are you a good match for this? I would say, well, obviously I have technical background here for your IT needs, but I can see that you're looking for someone with some, you know, you're looking to fill this as a communications role as well. Here's my experience as an actor and a public speaker. So I have that, bring that to the table. And I've taken a look at your website and your social media, and I see here are some gaps, and I think here are some suggestions. I can think to when just a few weeks ago, really, when I interviewed Sadie for the first time, and I asked her this question, and she just rattled off a whole slew of ideas she had for taking the podcast in new directions and new structures. And I was like, well, that's clearly a great fit for this role.
Yeah, there's a reflective element to it as well, right? Like the person might be able to already start to imagine and make those connections of what they've seen from those documents, but they really want you to be able to voice that yourself so that they know that you are the right fit that they imagined that you were. Kind of a confirmation piece for them.
And I think another big part is something like you said, and the muse raises this in the article too. It's like, what makes you stand out from everyone else? What makes you the unique candidate, right? So for me, I always lean on my theater and playwriting background as something that I bring to the table that probably most other candidates don't, right? And I'm acutely aware of the skills that I have from that very different world that I can bring to a job.
Yeah, absolutely. A tactic that also I was thinking about earlier that you mentioned, you were talking to people at CURF for people who have research backgrounds.
Yes.
It's really common that people think, they disassociate themselves from it. They disassociate that unique side of who they are and what they've brought to something. Instead, they focus on the things that they've done or the groups that they've been a part of without kind of putting themselves at that core is a really common thing. So trying to think through how you show the employer or whoever's interviewing you what your impact was to something or what you bring to the table specifically is so important.
Right, because again, you're going to be in a candidate pool, people who probably have vaguely similar resumes to you, right? Probably have similar academic experiences or similar job experiences if you're, you know, an alum who's been on the workplace for a little while. So if people are bringing a similar background to the table, then what is it that you've done that makes you stand out, right? And again, this goes back to that thing like, well, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. I think this is a case where you just have to suck it up and brag, right? I was in this job. I grew our social media following by X amount. I held these focus groups and found what students were really most interested in seeing on the social media. And we pivoted from this to that. You know, those sorts of tangible things that you can point to and say, I've done this. I've gotten this result. I've had this experience that I could bring to the table here is always going to make you stand out rather than saying, well, I studied finance, I studied marketing, because so did the next person and so did the person after them. That's, you know, they all check the boxes qualifications wise.
And there's a balance. Like, I think that's where the reflective piece comes in as well, because you could present something as keep yourself core to it, but you can still talk about what the group's goals were as context to what your specific action was or what your specific contribution or idea was that helped lead or shape the project you were working on.
So you have been involved in some searches here and perhaps at Temple as well. Like, can you think of times where someone answering this question really stood out? Again, you don't have to be specific, but, you know, something that really made it stand out where you're like, oh, that was a really good answer to that, as opposed to, oh, okay, that was sort of stock.
I don't know if I have a specific
What are the qualities of a good answer?
I think the best quality is a time or an answer that helps me see more about this person rather than them just telling me. So it could be that maybe they even talk about something I've seen already on their resume, so it's not necessarily surprising that they're bringing something up. But they go more in depth. They talk more about what they did specifically to address that. They add that reflective element. They add more background in terms of what their involvement was. So I think really showing rather than telling is what is most important for answering this, because it helps kind of fill in all those gaps for the listener or the interviewer.
Yeah, I can think of, you know, actually the thing that comes to my mind is I was interviewing someone once and they were absolutely fascinating. They had a lot to say about the work they had done, and it was unfortunately not the right fit for the position I was hiring for. And I just thought, I have to put this person in front of the right person, because they'd be amazing at a certain kind of job that is just unfortunately not what I'm looking for. But boy, they had all the right answers, and they gave really specific examples about the work they'd done. They were able to talk about their goals and their vision for what their career path would be like and what they felt they could bring to Penn as an organization. And I was just like, it would be great in like another department, which was, you know, it was a shame, but he was such a good interview, you know, that I was like, tell me where else you're looking, because we're going to talk you up, you know.
Yeah, I've been to those things before too, and it's weird, right? It's like not successful at showing the fit for one place, but so wildly successful at showing where they could be applied somewhere else that you feel motivated to help them with part of that too.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the points raised by the muse that I think is also important is there's no need to go on and on about yourself. Like, you should definitely embrace your strengths and be ready with examples. But a concise answer is always preferable, wouldn't you say?
Yes and no. I mean, I would lean yes. The reason I would kind of falter in between is you don't want to cut yourself off too soon, because you do want to give at least enough space to show them rather than tell them.
That's true. So I would say it's a good way to put this. I think, you don't want to ramble. You can speak for a while, right? I guess maybe concise, I don't necessarily mean short, but I mean specific.
Yeah, on topic. And I think the example the muse uses is good, right? And kind of core to a lot of stuff we've been talking about is the STAR method, which I know has been talked about on the podcast
times. But let's refresh our listening audience.
So I will give the background that I very much dislike acronyms in general.
It's true. I don't know anyone who hates an acronym more than that.
There's too many out there, and they become meaningless at some point. But with all that said, I think the STAR method is great. It's a great way to think about interviewing, even though STAR is an acronym. It stands for, and I even have to think about it sometimes because I have disassociated what the acronym actually means and more diluted to what the essence of that is. But STAR stands for situation, task, action, and results. I always just boil that down in my own head to tell them a story. Tell them a story that is relevant to the thing at hand and shows your impact there. I think if you have that down in your head as your goal, you're going to be successful. But if it helps you break down and really organize your thoughts within that structure of STAR, then that can be great. Especially if you're focusing on, if you're thinking about being concise, the situation and the task, that's kind of you setting the stage, right? You're saying, here's what we were faced with. Here was the task at hand that we had to do. You could probably say that in just a sentence or two, right? What you really want to focus on is your action and your result, because that is where what you've done uniquely and where you come into the story to the forefront of things. So it's a good way to make it feel less like you're having to brag, because you've given it this structure that kind of shows the bones around what you were doing. But it still gives you at least a nice goal to aim for each of those pieces of the acronym. So you still stay within that good structure.
So I could imagine that if I were an underclassman in particular listening to this podcast episode, hello, underclassmen listening to this podcast episode, that I might be thinking to myself, I don't really have that many stories. I don't have a lot of work experience yet, but I'm going to be starting to interview for summer internships. So what would you say to that person who feels like they don't have a story to tell yet?
First thing is, you probably do have a story to tell. You just probably haven't identified it yet. A great thing to do is always look over your resume before an interview. Look at the types of things that you were showcasing to them that you've done already, the types of situations you've been in, And then start to think about what goes with that. What was a time that you worked on a project? What was a time that you feel proud of something that you contributed to as a part of a club, as a part of a past part-time job, whatever it might be?
One of the things that they say right at the top of this article that I think is helpful to remind ourselves is that the question may not be phrased exactly, why are you a good fit? What are some other ways that this question manifests itself?
Oh, there's a million, right? It could even be implicit as part of, why are you interested in this role?
Sure.
Maybe they don't even ask this question at all, but the idea of it should be present in something right.
It's essentially at the heart of every interview.
Absolutely.
I have told the story many times, when I won't repeat it, but I just remember so vividly that the very first question I ever got asked when I interviewed for my first job here was, why are you interested in this job specifically? And I had to do a little tap dancing. That's another story. But, you know, at its heart, it was the same question. Why you? Why this role? Right.
It's a deceptively hard question, because a lot of times you're applying to a bunch of stuff all at once.
Well,
sometimes within the same organization.
That was my case. And in fact, there were two open positions in career services. And luckily, I was like, now is this? And they were like, oh, right. You applied to two positions here. We're talking today about this one. And I was able to go, oh, well, I love helping people. It's true. And I think I gave a really honest answer to that. And sometimes the question is a little easier to answer than others, depending on the role or the mission of the organization. If you really believe in an organization's mission, that's a great way to jump off, right? That's how I launched into talking about myself, because I was like, you help people get jobs. That's a really noble cause. I like working with college students. Let's go from there, right?
Yeah, definitely. It speaks to the reflective side. You might have a really similar answer to this question for two completely different jobs. But sure. If you're able to bring in little elements that help showcase that you've thought about how that answer fits to the audience in which you're speaking, you're still going to be really successful with it.
Right. You know, I would say, with probably few exceptions, the answer is probably going to be very similar to every job you interview.
You could have been applying for head chef of the university, and you could have had a similar answer. You love helping students, and you love helping people, and you love working with college students.
And on top of that, I love to cook. I mean, right? It's just another variation on a theme. But you're exactly right, Natty, because it's all about bringing who you are, and hopefully who you are doesn't change depending on what position you are. I'm going to still be J. Michael DeAngelis, whether I'm the head chef. Natty actually sent me today. They were looking for a head chef at Walt Disney World. Hey, know that would combine two of my loves. Unfortunately, I'm only an amateur chef, professional Disney goer. But, you know, I would still be me, and I would still bring sort of my large personality to a kitchen as opposed to a podcast.
And I've more than once, when I've been giving feedback about these types of things, I've had people say, oh, so I should lie, which is not the case. It's not to say that you're making these things up. They should still be core to you. What you need to do, it's kind of the element of spin, right, of how you're either spinning something or you're just applying it. How are you fitting your own answer into this question of fit for them?
So something I tell students when they're preparing to go on an interview is, ask yourself the question, like, why am I applying to this job? And if you don't have a good answer, it might not be a good fit.
And maybe that helps, right? A lot of times you may have a ton of jobs that you're thinking you're interested in, and cutting those down can be really helpful. It gives you more time to spend on the ones that you're a better fit
Absolutely.
For, that you are
like,
more interested
in. It's great to give yourself that pre-interview. If I got into the room and they asked me, why am I interested in this job, or what makes me the best fit for this role, do I have a good and honest answer?
That was a great point.
I'm full of them today. Natty, what makes you the perfect match for this job, co-host of CS Radio?
Oh, man. You're putting me on the spot.
We didn't interview you before you took the job.
That's
true.
We're
doing it in reverse.
Live in front of a studio audience. Yes. Sadie is the studio audience. So I do have experience on the podcast previously. I've really enjoyed being able to contribute and truly broadcast the advice that I often give on an individual basis to multiple listeners at once. I think it's a great added element to the type of work that is usually so individual. It's a great way to kind of put the spin on the side that I love helping students and working with students, but adding that extra layer of magnitude. I was a communications major. I can go on.
Oh, please do.
No, I'm done.
Well, you're hired.
Thanks. Now I'm just thinking of jokes. What is it? Oh, why did the Scarecrow win the Nobel Prize?
I don't know. Why did the Scarecrow win the Nobel Prize?
He was outstanding in his field.
I forgot I was supposed to
laugh. Oh, I thought you were going to add it after the fact.
We'll just get some free sound clip of the studio audience laughing.
Yes. Wild applause, please.
Well, we will link to this article in the show notes. Along with a few other things that we mentioned. Give it a read. Always check out the Muse. They are always publishing really insightful articles as well as career insights. They partner with employers to do profiles, industry insights. It's really great. We love partnering with them, themuse.com.
What?
Well, I'll throw it to you.
Oh. I noticed recently, they have their own staff writers. They also have other career professionals who are in roles like ours writing these articles. So they're really great resources and great sources that they're getting to gather this information.
Well, thanks again to our friends at the Muse. Looking forward to next week because we will be doing a recap. I am off once again to the Austin Film Festival Writers Conference. So I will be back next week with a recap of how that went, what's going on in Hollywood, what's going on. I know if you follow the industry, a shutdown was just narrowly averted with the union strike, but there's still a lot to negotiate still, but the work is going to continue. What is production looking like as we're, you know, quote unquote, coming out of COVID. So I'm really looking forward to attending that this year and bringing back some news for folks that are looking to get into the industry and going to all sorts of sessions. I think I did this last year, but I'm going to go again to, there's going to be a session about breaking into the video game writing industry.
Oh,
so I'll be reporting on that. TV, podcasting, film and theater, it's all covered in this. So I hopefully am going to have a whole lot to say. So Natty, come with your questions next week.
I have many. It's always fun to hear the recap of that.
Yeah. So I look forward to that. And I look forward to seeing you all again on CS Radio.
This podcast is a presentation of University of Pennsylvania Career Services, Division of Penn University Life. It was created by J. Michael DeAngelis and A. Mielin Kirshner and produced and hosted by J. Michael DeAngelis and Natty Leach. It is mixed and edited by Sadie Kyler. If you like this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @PennCareerServe. Thanks for listening.